has led our nation. Rich has been our past. He alone can bless us with freedom that will last. A monument to freedom, the land of the open door. Lord, bless and guide this nation, its farther hope and store. May we remember always the truth that makes us free, and make this mighty nation a trophy of liberty. Monuments all crumble, nations turn to dust. As we face the future, in God we place our trust. A monument to freedom, the land of the open door. Lord, bless and guide this nation, its faith and hope restore. May we remember always the truth that makes us free, and make this mighty nation a trophy of liberty. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam, God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Thank you, Brother Lassiter. Thank you, choir. And thank you, dear folks, for being here. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I would like to meet with these eight couples right over here in this corner after the service is over very quickly. Brother and Mrs. Dockery, you're not in trouble. Mrs. Dockery looked up so quick. Brother and Mrs. Villa, well, maybe part of you are in trouble. No. Brother and Miss Quinn Fugate. And Brother and Miss Pham. As soon as the services are over, if you could meet with me right over here for just a few moments, it won't take long at all. Thank you very much. Open your Bibles now to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What I'm doing is trying to get together judges for tonight's pie and cobbler cook-off. And I'm trying to get some people I can fatten up, but I noticed one of them does not need any help. If you have found your place in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, stand with me and we shall read three verses for our message this morning. In verse number 6, Paul said, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And then verse 17, and the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to speak this morning on the subject life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Heavenly Father, help me this morning as we bring this message. We ask for your direction, your power. We ask that you help our thoughts to be plain and easily understood. And we pray that you might take the truths presented, apply them to our life, and let us understand that what the Declaration of Independence is promising, only the Lord Jesus can provide. Now, Lord, we need your help. And we'll thank you in advance for what you shall do this morning. Thank you for the guests and visitors who are here today. And Lord, for every one of us, would you open our heart and our mind to receive your precious word? If there be those here that are unsaved, let this be the day when they accept you as personal Savior. And if there be those that are still struggling in the bondage of this world, even after they've accepted you, may they find out that liberty and happiness only come from a right relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of Christians, though they have been saved, that have been entangled again in the yoke of bondage. They've allowed the world and the cares of this world and the sins of this world to get hold of them and hinder their walk with God. I pray that this might be a day of great deliverance where sinners are saved and Christians might get on course so that they don't have to wait till they get to heaven to enjoy life and happiness and liberty, but they can enjoy a little of heaven's sweet blessings as they live here in this old wicked world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. 230 years ago this week, the following words were written and signed by 56 patriots. They were Americans. They signed their name, and I'll read just parts of the first two paragraphs. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause or the causes that impel them to this separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The above is stated in the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence. There are three things set forth in the above statement that are among the chief desires of every human being. That is, man wants to live. He fights for the next breath and for life. Secondly, he wants to live free. He wants liberty. And thirdly, he wants to be happy. The only thing is that man does not know how to be happy or where to find happiness. There's no declaration or constitution, no government or armies, no politicians nor platforms can promise and provide life, liberty, and happiness for any people. In these past 230 years, there have been times of prosperity and happiness, but people still die. People are still living in bondage of one kind or another. And the citizens of our nation are living with only a happiness that seems hollow and synthetic. Life, liberty, and happiness are not found in a constitution or a government or even a country. They're found in a person. And that person is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Word of God presents Jesus as many things to a nation. To the rulers of a nation, Christ is the preeminent one. To a nation in darkness, Christ is the light of the world. To a nation in time of drought, Christ is the water of life. To a nation in time of hunger, Christ is the bread of life. To a nation that is suffering, Christ is the great physician and the healing balm of Gilead. To a nation that's lost their way, Christ is the great shepherd, ready to guide them back into the fold. To the nation without leadership, Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. To a nation at war, Christ is the captain of the host and the captain of our salvation, saying to us, be good soldiers and follow me. To a nation in desperate need, Jesus is the great provider, able to provide all our needs according to his riches and glory. To a nation in bondage, Christ is the great deliverer. To a nation in sin, Christ is the anointed of God, the Savior of sinners who come to him by faith. To a backslidden nation, Christ is the gracious father of the prodigal who is ready and able to forgive and restore the returning prodigal as he comes in repentance and faith. In the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence, God is referred to twice. And again in the last paragraph, God is again mentioned. The Declaration of our independence began and ended with God. The United States of America began with God, and our only hope as a nation today is to return to the God of our fathers. In the last 35, 40 years, our nation has expelled God and the Bible from our public school system. The courts of our land have legalized the murder of unborn babies. The burning of our national flag is now protected by law. And the homosexuality and the marriage of same-sex couples are in the process of being legitimized in our land. Don't you understand, dear friends, this morning that America desperately needs to return to the God of our founding fathers? Jesus is the great need today of our presidents. He is the great need of our governments. Jesus is the great need of our governors. He is the need of our judges that judge over the affairs of man. He's the need of our mayors who rule our cities. He is the need of our city council and our citizens in our cities. Jesus is the need in our businesses, our homes. Our daddies and mamas need him. Our teenagers need him. You and I need Jesus. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus is the one who can provide life everlasting plus a life worth living. He is the one that provides liberty. And he is the one that can set us on course to a life of joy and a life of happiness. We need Christ today because in him alone is life. You go back and trace physical life back to its origin. Its origin is he took up a dirt form of a man, and God, the Creator, and Colossians tells us God the Creator is Jesus Christ. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. life, physical, has its origin with the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And life eternal finds its origin in Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us on that old rugged cross. Let me read just some verses to you this morning without comment. And each of these verses states that Jesus is life. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast seen. So life eternal is Jesus Christ. John 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Look at Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Life is not in a preacher. It's not in a church. It's in Jesus Christ and him alone. 2 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. I could go on and on and on throughout the Word of God, showing you that life finds its origin in Jesus Christ. Whether it's physical life or it's spiritual life. If we want a life worth living here and life eternal in glory, then we must by faith come to Jesus Christ. What is your life today? Does it only consist of things? Are you living for things? 100 years from now, your life will be gone. Rotted, rusted, fallen apart, ruined. Life is more than things. What are you living for here? Does it consist of things? Is it wasted? Is your life being wasted? Is it worthless? Are you bankrupt as far as heaven is concerned? I witnessed to a millionaire one time, and he was glad to tell me all about his millions of dollars. And I asked him how he was in his bank account in heaven, and he dropped his head and said, I'm bankrupt. You may not be a millionaire, but you still may be bankrupt in heaven because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christ alone saves us from the condemnation of our sin. And Christ alone saves us from the waste of our life. Christ alone fills that emptiness that's inside of man. For he is our life. Have you trusted him today as Savior? Without Christ, your life is without purpose and without meaning. No matter what you might accomplish in your life, it is less than God intended, because God intended for you to go through life walking hand in hand with Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. Christ is our life. Secondly, we need Jesus because in him is liberty. In him we're set free. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When we get saved, a wonderful thing happens. God the Spirit indwells the believer's body, and we become his temple. Now, the Holy Spirit does not live in the unbeliever, but the Holy Spirit indwells every person who is saved. He is our witness from within, bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's the reason you can't persuade me I'm unsaved, because the Holy Spirit in me keeps witnessing to me that I've been born again according to the teachings of the Word of God and the promise of God. And if you're not saved, you don't have that witness. But not only does the Holy Spirit in us become our witness within, He also leads us and guides us and convicts us and directs us and comforts us. Amen. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit in the believer is to help us to understand we have been delivered from the bondage of sin. We have been set free from the condemnation of sin and the law. We're alive now. We can live. The shackles of sin have been broken. We have been freed. We have been made alive to God, and we can have a relationship with God and live for God. Thomas Jefferson said in 1774, "The God that gave us life gave us liberty at the same time." When you're alive in Christ Jesus, you've been liberated from the bondage of sin. When you're alive in Christ Jesus, the yoke of the law and its condemnation has been done away. You have been set free in Jesus Christ. When you're alive in Christ Jesus, the curse of sin, which is eternal damnation in hell, is past. Jesus suffered our condemnation for us. He suffered the wrath of God against our sin in order that we might be delivered, we might be set free, we might have liberty. Praise God, every born again child of God has been set free because of Calvary's cross and because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He has given us life. And He has given us liberty in Jesus Christ. That freedom and liberty is there for anyone who will accept Jesus as their Savior. However, the Christian's liberty is taken from many believers by the devil. See, once you get saved, the devil knows he can never take you to hell. So he tries to take away your liberty and your peace and bring you back again into the bondage of sin. He's trying to hinder your growth and hinder your walk with God and hinder you from having the peace of God and the joy of the Lord in your soul. Some of you are hanging on to those things that the devil is using to hinder you from enjoying liberty and peace and life in Christ Jesus. The devil desires to deliver you back into the bondage of sin. The devil desires to see you fall because of personal sin. The devil desires to keep you from the Savior and see you in everlasting hell if you've never been saved. But I'm here to tell you there is liberty in Christ Jesus. Listen to Paul's admonition to the saved. Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage." God has delivered us from the bondage of the law. He's made it possible that you don't have to live under the thumb of the devil and the bondage of sin. You can be set free not only spiritually but physically. God has given you the ability to say no to the devil. The only power the devil will have over your life after you get saved is the power you allow him to have. He has no entrance into your life until you open a door and invite him to come in. And that's the reason some of you are in bondage today, even though you've been saved, is because you've opened the door to the devil and to sin and invited it back into your life, even after Jesus saved you and forgave you and cleansed you. Galatians 5:13, listen to the warning. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Here's what people are doing today in the name of Christian liberty. They're opening the door and they're drinking, dancing, doing things Christians ought not be doing. And they're saying, well, I've been set free. We have Christian liberty. Nothing will send us to hell. That's right. It won't. It'll just turn your life into a hell on earth. He says, God didn't give us liberty so we could go over here and indulge in sin and the flesh. God gave us liberty that we might serve one another and serve Him. Live for Him. I ask you this morning, does Jesus Christ live in your heart and life as your Savior? If so, that's wonderful. But as a Christian, does Jesus Christ sit on the throne of your heart and life as Lord? I do not believe in the Lordship of Christ necessary for salvation. Amen. You're saved by faith in Christ. Merits merited on His grace alone. But God wants us to grow to the place where we quit living for self and the world and let Christ rule our life as Lord and as Savior. Have you grown to that place? Now, if you haven't, that doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you're still a baby Christian. You're immature. You've allowed sin to rule where Christ wants to rule. You need to come back to that place where you confess your sin and invite Christ to be enthroned in that part of your life. You know, Jesus is the answer to life. He is our liberty. And then thirdly, in Christ alone, we have the opportunity to pursue true happiness and real joy. In our Declaration of Independence, we're guaranteed the right to pursue happiness in America. However, most people are looking in the wrong places and thinking the wrong things provide happiness. What is happiness? Well, let me tell you, first of all, that happiness is not the accumulation of things or wealth. Happiness is a state of being where one can enjoy life without living in fear. We can enjoy life without living in fear. Happiness is the opposite of fear and suffering. Now, there are people here today who are educated, but they're not happy. There are people here who are prosperous, but they're not happy. There are people here today who are religious, but they're not happy. And there are people here who are busy about business and things, but you're not happy. And you're trying to find happiness in the wrong places and in the wrong things. As you pursue happiness, listen to where God says happiness can be found. Job 15:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Amen. Happiness is being right with God. Amen. Happiness is having a right relationship with the Heavenly Father. Not holding on to our sin and living in guilt and shame and fear. Amen. Happiness is the man God correcteth. He's right with God. His sins are under the blood. There's nothing between his soul and the Savior. Go to bed at night and put his head on the pillow and know it's all right. And get up and live the next day and know that he's not living for the wrong things and serving the wrong things. He has a right relationship with God. Psalm 144, verse 15, the Bible says, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happiness is found in Him. And not just saying, I believe God, but making Him Lord in your life. I promise you, if all you do is believe in Christ enough to get saved, and you're living your life for self and the world, you're the most miserable human being alive. The Holy Spirit is dedicated to making you miserable. That's His job, to convict of sin inside of you. And by the way, if you claim to be a Christian, you're living in sin and you do what you ought not do, and there's no conviction, no concern, no shame, no sleepless nights, you never hear that still small voice say, "That's wrong, that's sin." You better get concerned about what you call salvation. You haven't found what God calls salvation. Because when you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in, and He will not allow His children to live in sin without chastening them and correcting them and convicting them. But when we trust Him as Savior and make Him Lord, it's wonderful to know that when I'm walking in His footsteps. Where He leads me, I will follow. That I'm doing His will. That I'm enjoying His blessings. He's not just my Savior. He's my boss. He's my master. He's my Lord. Psalm 146 verse 5 says, or Proverbs 16:20 says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." So where do we find happiness? By learning to trust the Lord. Trust it. Believe Him. Put our dependence upon Him. Follow Him. Live by His precepts and by His teachings. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Now that word vision does not mean goals or plans. That word visions means where there is no divinely inspired word of God. The people perish. But listen. "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." When this was written, the only part of Scripture they had was the law of God, the writings of Moses, the Old Testament portion of Scripture. He says, if you don't have the word of God, you're going to perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Whew. It means learn what it teaches. Hide it in your heart. Obey it. Live by its teachings, its principles. And John sums it all up. Jesus does in John 13 verse 17. "If you know these things, happy are ye that do them." Hide it in your heart. Live by the word of God's teachings. That's where happiness comes from, a right relationship with Him. Well, let me conclude. Dear soul, this morning, you've tried to live your life and find happiness, yet you're still living in bondage. There's an emptiness in your heart. You desperately need Jesus Christ as Savior. And you desperately need a right relationship with Him. You need Him in your home. Not symbolically, He needs to be the head of the home. You need Him in your marriage. Not one that you can say, "Oh yes, we believe He is our Savior," but one who is the third partner in that covenant relationship called marriage. You need Him in your finances. You've tried it on your own and you've got yourself in such a mess that you don't make enough to pay the interest on what you owe. You've got more month than money. And it wasn't God's doing, it's your doings, because you tried to live for things on your terms and not God's terms. You need Him in your finances. May I say to you, if you're here today unsaved, you need Him as in your heart as your Savior. The Declaration of Independence. Pardon me. Not a good way to conclude a service. Thank God I had this hanky. The Declaration of Independence cannot save you, nor can it provide you life and happiness. However, I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus Christ can. But you must come to Him. You cannot have life, liberty, and happiness with a token testimony that you believe there's a God. With a token testimony that you're religious. You're going to have trouble in your life and trouble in your marriage and trouble in your finances until you make Christ the chief person of your life. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Are you living by His Word? Have you invited Him into your home and your marriage? On this July 4th weekend, I'm glad we can celebrate the birth of our nation. On July the 2nd, the final draft of the Declaration of Independence was agreed upon. It was put together. Finally agreed upon July the 4th. Wasn't signed by those men until August of that year. And it's sure been the beginning of a great nation that God has blessed. But it's the words of men. And I'm telling you from the Word of God that life is in Jesus Christ. Liberty is in Jesus Christ. And real happiness and joy is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Would you trust Him? Would you serve Him? Would you give Him that preeminent place in your heart, your life? You've given Him a token place in your home, a token place in your marriage, a token place in your finances. He's asking you to make Him Lord. Christian, He's asking you to make Him Lord. Unsaved sinner, He's asking you to trust Him as Savior. And you ought to do it this morning. Father, that's our message. Thank You for America. Thank You for